This sermon was downloaded from spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
It's my elder barrister, Emmanuel Kasa. Can we make him welcome? Hallelujah. Make him welcome. Make him welcome. Because our service to the Lord is service through the enablement of the Lord to the brethren, every genuine minister should have referees, people that can testify about your service as you began to evolve eventually to the personality that you are today. Hallelujah. So we are going to continue from where we stopped yesterday. Before we begin the interview, I would like us to catch a few scriptures that will give us perspective of about some of the issues that we raised yesterday. So turn your Bible to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, just a little recap so that we can stay on course. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Are you still with me? Issues of life. The Greek word for the Hebrew word for issues, just in case you have a Strong's exhaustive concordance, the pilot number 3318 is the pilot number that points to the Hebrew word for issues in that scripture. Hallelujah. The word is totsa, and the meaning of the word totsa is boundary, boundary. You know, when you buy a land, a plot of land, a piece of land, in order for you to secure the land, what you normally do is to erect a fence at the boundary. And this is going to ensure that there is no form of encroachment whatsoever. So you erect a fence at the boundary, and that is supposed to checkmate trespass. Are you there? If you see the way God created, you will find out that all the precious organs have protection. The brain has the protection of the skull. The spinal cord has the protection of the vertebral column. The heart and lungs has the protection of the rib cage. They are protective devices that God puts in place to guard any organ that is critical to the issue of life. But you see, your heart, no protection was designed for it. And so God is transferring the responsibility of monitoring the environment of your heart to you. For out of your heart are the boundaries of your life. So if you are going to have a limitation, the limitation you are going to have is going to be in your heart. And if God wants to enlarge your possible scope, one of the things he will do is to put you in a circumstance, put you in a situation that will shake your heart and enlarge it. So not every crisis, not every trouble you go through is negative. Some of them were designed to enlarge your boundary, your territory. Are you there? Because the principle is that if you do not win in your soul, you will not win on the ground. Please help me preach to your neighbor. If you do not win in your soul, you will not win on the ground. So the Bible says that your heart is critical. It holds the promise of life. Hallelujah. And you are responsible to safeguard it. You are responsible to keep it. Did you get it to that point? All right. Now, I'll need to say something quickly, because when we go to the Old Testament and we begin to study the life of this great man called Solomon, you will find that he had a great destiny. There were major promises that God gave about him. In fact, conferred upon him was one of the mighty streams of grace that up until that time God never committed to any man. In fact, the Bible revealed that his heart was as large as the sand of the seashore, meaning that in capacity, the capacity that Solomon had was unimaginable. Are you still with me? But the issues of Solomon began by encroachments that began to take over the territory of his heart. And even though he was endowed with so much wisdom, his inability to protect his heart turned what was for his well-being into frustration. There was an inversion of his possibility. And what he had was eventually used to adorn the kingdom of darkness, because his heart was not safeguarded. According to scripture, when we look upon a few scriptures, which I intend that we will do in a few moments from now, you will find out, number one, that the heart is an entry organ. You see, just like we can spell out the functions of your lungs, we can spell out the functions of your kidneys. If at the other time I went for a checkup, and they asked for all kinds of strange samples, and I was wondering what was going on. They said, no, this one is to check your kidney. This one is to check your liver. This one is to check your heart. In fact, they put me somewhere and strapped me with wires. Put some wires on my body and ran some electricity through me. And the machine plotted a graph. They said, okay, this is to reveal the status of your heart in terms of electrical conductivity. I said, Jesus Christ. And so every organ has its function. Are you there? So we want to look at the function of the heart according to the Bible. One of the functions of the heart is that it is an entry organ. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In order for the Holy Spirit to take residence in your life, there must be a heart activity. Are you there? It's an entry organ. If you don't know how to keep it, it is possible that you can contact the reality of demons, and demons can enter into your space. The heart is a love organ. The heart is a love organ. If you check the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 5, you will see that the heart has love capacities, love potentials, affection potentials. That's what makes it very tricky. Because many ladies in this place are addicted to a certain channel called Z World. If you are guilty, please. Z World. All right, so some people are truthful. What happened to you is that your heart was subjected to Z World and your heart began to like it. Such that you can be in the height of watching Z World, and when the people in charge of electricity shut down electricity, it's as if you were pierced because, oh my. I think somebody here knows the feeling. Those of you watching from Europe and America, I know you don't know the experience of a breakdown in your electricity. That's why you need to visit Africa once and again. There is something called blackout. Hallelujah. So, you see, your heart can love. These are the capacities, these are the scriptures that reveal what exactly constitutes the heart. The first scripture is in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 1. Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verse 1. This is a statement that was made by Solomon, and I'd like us to look at it briefly. The Bible says, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove you. Underline, will. I said in my heart, that was a decision that was made in the faculty of the heart called the will. It means the will of your soul is part of the heart. The heart is capable of choice. And the organ for choice is your will, and your will is located in your human soul. Did you get that? Secondly, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your heart is capable of thinking. And your thinking faculty is domiciled in your soul. Are you there? I'm trying to show you the diagram of the heart. Do you understand the purpose of my efforts? All right. So your heart is capable of thinking. It means that the thinking faculty, which is an organ in your soul, is part of the heart. Is that clear? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And we just read the book of Deuteronomy. Did we read it? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 5. And thou shalt love the Lord with thy God with all thine heart. I did a linguistic investigation. Given that the Hebrew has so many words for love, I tried to find out what kind of love are we talking about here. You can check it yourself. You will find that the love we are talking about here is emotional love. He's saying that there's supposed to be a romantic connection between you and God. You are supposed to be emotionally consumed by your affection with God. God doesn't expect us to function like robots. It is that love that you have developed in your walk with God that makes it possible for you, when something comes to contest with the place of God in your life, it makes it possible for you to refuse it, because you don't want that thing to interfere with a hidden affection that has built in your heart for God. And the capacity to love, in the sense of the word that is used in this scripture, is a function of your emotion. And the base or the place where this emotion is situated is in your soul. Is that clear? Number four, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. An evil conscience. It means, therefore, that the conscience is also part of your heart. And I need to explain something quickly here, because, are you there with me? Are you there with me? Those of you that have followed me for a while, I told you and I taught you through scriptures that there are three parts to your human spirit. The first part is your conscience. The conscience is like a barometer. A conscience is like a measuring instrument that reveals our up-to-date status in terms of obedience and compliance to the things of God. So if you want to stray away from God, one of the places you are going to see the readings of God's displeasure is on your conscience. In fact, as long as God can still trouble your conscience, it means that you are still spiritually healthy. At any point in time that you come to a point where God can no longer trouble your conscience, you have wandered into a strange place and you need to be admitted quickly into the intensive care unit of the grace of God. Are you there? Conscience. We said the first component of your spirit is the conscience. Second component of your spirit is the fellowship. We don't have any other word with which to describe that aspect. So we called it the fellowship. And my explanation of the fellowship is in line with your mobile phone. So, Pastor Dan, what kind of phone do you have? Okay, Pastor Dan has a Samsung phone running on the Android operating system. When you buy a phone, there are several features that are functional even without inserting a SIM card. One of those features is the calculator. Do you agree with me? Then you have some memory on the phone and you can store some music on the phone and connect your earpiece and you can get yourself entertained because the phone is capable through a few softwares that are inherent in it to play your music that is saved in a mode that is compatible with what the software on your phone can drive. So there are a few things you can do with your phone without the SIM card. But the purpose for which you got the phone is not because you want to listen to music. There is something called a transistor radio. And the purpose of the radio is to interpret radio waves and to give you distinct sound. The reason for which you got the phone is so that you can harmonize with the potential of the GSM network and take advantage of it to achieve communication. So the moment you insert the SIM card into your phone, the SIM card happens to be a product, a device that has what it takes to interface with the algorithm of the GSM network, which is invincible to the human eyes. So the moment you put in the SIM card, then your phone receives the network from the GSM frequency. And the moment your phone can access the network, then all modes of communication become possible. Phone call communications, possible. Text message communications, possible. Internet communications, possible. So internet applications like WhatsApp, like, help me. I'm not. Oh my God. Telegram, become useful all of a sudden. And you think that's how it is until you travel to another country. And then your SIM card cannot synchronize with the GSM facility in that place. And then you just find out that, oh, the reason why I had connectivity was because my SIM card could understand the language and interpret the frequency of the GSM potential. Then you need to look for another SIM card that understands that frequency. And you can bring the powers of the GSM network into your handset again. That's the same thing that happened to you. The day you gave your life to Christ, the SIM card is the Holy Ghost. And the moment the Holy Spirit was inserted into your spirit man, you gained access to the network of things that were obtainable in the kingdom of God. So you became capable of accessing the mind of God. You became capable of accessing the wisdom of God. And you became capable of functioning with the potential that access makes available. And that's the reason why we can take advantage of the power of God. All of that is in the network. Are you with me? You're not with me. All of that potential is locked on the network. So because we have access to the network, there are many things that we cannot do naturally that we are capable of doing because we have access to God's network. And I will cry and cry again and tell you that what makes a man a prophet is not that he has the capacity to say your name or say the name of your village or call out your phone number. Are you there? The mark of a true prophet is that he has capacity to reveal the things of God. He has capacity to reveal Jesus, reveal his kingdom, reveal his purposes, reveal his strategy, reveal his agenda, so that the body of Christ can be equipped to flow with God on the same frequency. Someone with a spirit of divination can tell you your phone number. He can tell you the name of your father. But he cannot access the things of God because he doesn't have the SIM card. The Bible says that we have received a spirit which is not of this world, but a spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Are you there? Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. Now, we went somewhere to preach the gospel, and the first preacher mounted the podium and began to speak. And when he began to speak, it became clear to me through the network. Hallelujah. You know, the network has potential. The network has access to the crucible of spiritual knowledge. It has, oh my God. The Bible says that the Spirit searches all things. All things. All things. And even the deep things of God. That is a search facility that is higher than Google. It can search into God. Search into his heart. Search into his belly. Bring out his wisdom. So this preacher was ministering, and the Spirit of God in me began to witness to me that that man is not operating by me. And I touched the minister that invited us. I said, where did you find this man? He said, oh, I got him. I found him here. He was mighty in the Spirit. So I kept quiet. Since he didn't know, I would not be the one to tell him. Hallelujah. He finished ministering, and he took all the time I was supposed to preach, he preached his own time, preached my time, and all that I was left to do was to say a word of prayer. And my prayer became a parable. That I saw a black sheep, and this black sheep will be uncovered before daybreak. You see, I have grown a little in the prophetic, a little, just a little. You don't need to say some things very clearly so that people will not shoot you. Wisdom is profitable to that. I saw a black sheep, and this black sheep will be arrested before daybreak. That was the prayer point. Then we ended the program. Then the minister that invited us had a problem with the prophet. It was in the midst of the problem. The problem was that one of the people that he brought into the service to claim that the word of knowledge he gave was accurate, he was a borrowed vessel. They discussed behind the scene before all of the drama took place, because the person was coming for additional money. The money they agreed was not disbursed. You know, when there are disbursement challenges, Aiko Siko Baramos Avama. There were disbursement challenges somewhere along the line, and the host pastor came to meet a disbursement issue on ground. That was where he discovered, and the black sheep was unveiled. That was when he began to communicate, I have seen the black sheep. You see, if I had, hallelujah. Now, the reason why all of that was possible was because there was network. There was network. The Holy Spirit that has the capacity to search into all things gave me a little intelligence. Are you there? So if somebody is operating by the devil, the Holy Spirit can bring you intelligence, because he can search into what? So that aspect of your spirit that has to do with the network, we called it fellowship. Because your spirit has that capability, your spirit has that capacity to link up to the hub of the grace of God and to achieve the blessing of access through the Holy Ghost. Part of the blessings of the new covenant, as you will come to see, is enshrined in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse number 17. And if we have time, we can move it to verse 18. So this is an announcement. This scripture is an announcement. You know, if you have on your phone a certain application and the producers of the application decide to publish an update, if an update is published on the application that you are using, in some cases it will be impossible to use the application without downloading the update. Is that true? All right. Because the publisher wants you to be operating with the up-to-date technology that is made available for the product that you have decided to use. Now, this scripture is an update. Once and again, you will find updates in scripture. Updates. So that all of us can update our knowledge and operate at the level of the highest technology that the publisher is making available. In this update, there is a disclosure of new technology. The Bible says, now. And if you follow the progression in the reading, the noun there is referring to in the era of resurrection. I don't have time to do the whole reading because that's not the emphasis. So, in the resurrection. How many of you? Yeah, we are in Benue State. So, I believe that everyone knows a little about agriculture in Benue State. You must have planted something before and it grew and you ate of it. If you don't have that experience, you are not in Benue State. You went somewhere, you planted something. So if there anybody here that has never had the experience of planting something and eating of the fruit thereof, if you are such a person, we need to counsel with you quickly. All right. So every one of us here have had that experience. When you take a piece of maize and you till the ground and cast it into the earth, the grain of maize is either yellow or white. And when you cast it into the earth, it germinates with a new color. A color that doesn't look like what it was before you began the planting. It comes out green. There is a change of color. There is a change of configuration. There is a change of conformation. Are you there? The same thing happened to Jesus. And there is an update here for us. When Jesus died and was buried, the form in which he resurrected was different from the form that he was in his human living. And this is an attempt to give us that update. It's a now, which means in resurrection, the Lord Jesus that you used to know has become what? That spirit. This is an update. Second update. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, the word liberty, as used in that scripture, is ancient English. And it falls short. It falls short of He falls a little short of what you think it means. That word in Greek is ekei. And ekei means access. Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Access. Just like we have access to the economy of God, to the wisdom of God, just because the Holy Spirit was inserted into your spirit, it gave you the blessing and the blessedness of access to God. Now, I don't know how many of you here have seen the governor of Benue State. You have visited him in the office. Do we have anybody here like that? Visited the governor of Benue State in the office? Okay, maybe nobody at present. It means that even though he's our governor, we have not been able to access him. But by the time you're arriving at the gate, I've been to government house before. We were invited for something. My senior friend was being sworn in as a PAMSEC of Ministry of Health. And one of the people he requested to be present at his swearing in was my humble self. So that was the first time I drove into the premises of the government arena. Now, you see, we had to pass through so many checks. They brought a list. The list that every invited guest is supposed to be present on. And when they checked, I said, that's my name there. They required some form of identity to prove that I'm not trying to impersonate. When we finished that, we thought it was over. And then at the gate again, they brought a list. And at the end of the day, we gained entrance into the facility. So they ushered us to the place where we're supposed to sit. And it took so much time before the governor showed up. Accessing the governor sometimes is more difficult than accessing God. Because, hallelujah. May the Lord give you understanding. In the new covenant, we have a spirit that gives us access to God. I know what you will say if you see the governor face to face. You might just remind him of your school fees, that there's a school fees challenge. You don't even have accommodation. Your mother has not been sleeping under shelter. And so many requests. Because you want to take advantage of access. But the average believer has not yet taken advantage of the access that we have with God. What you do with the blessing of access will determine how far you go. I had to pass through this corridor just to enlighten you. And all of these benefits come to us because we are connected to network. You get that? I say, you get that? So, one aspect of your spirit is your conscience, which is the regulator that God uses to express either his peace or his displeasure about an action or an intention. Or it is supposed to be the switch that God uses to constrain you so that you do not wander out of the regions of his grace. Then we have that aspect of your spirit that is the fellowship, which is the means by which you are connected to network. And that is made active by the presence of the Holy Spirit that becomes united with your human spirit on the basis of your justification and eventual regeneration. Are you there? Then the third part of your spirit is the intuition. That is the portal of spiritual knowledge. The portal of spiritual knowledge. You will hear Jesus say, or you will hear the apostles say, that I knew. You will hear in the book of John chapter 13, Jesus knew that the hour had come that he should depart out of this world. And having loved his own, the Bible says he loved them unto the end. And now supper being ended, and he knew that Satan has put in the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him. He knew it. That is indications about spiritual knowledge. Your spirit is capable of spiritual knowledge. When we talk about spiritual knowledge, what we mean is that knowledge, that intelligence that is handed out to you by the agency of the Holy Spirit himself. You cannot stumble on that knowledge because you attend a lecture. You cannot stumble on that knowledge because you stumbled into a library. You cannot stumble on that knowledge because you read a book. This kind of knowledge is not sown into your life on the soil of your soul, but is handed out to you by the Holy Ghost to give you intelligence that humanity is not capable of receiving. Is that clear? So if you can visualize what I've just explained in your mind, you will see that this is a spirit. It has intuition, it has fellowship, it has conscience. So the conscience of the spirit and the soul is what makes the heart. Can you visualize it? Sorry, I don't have my diagrams on the board. Before I come tomorrow, we will send the schematics to the media people, and they will put up a diagram on the screen. And then you will see in schematic form what I'm trying to teach and all the scriptures that support the diagram. And the diagram will help to enhance your knowledge. Are you with me? Now that you can see the broad framework, the broad architecture in the hidden and the secret parts, I hope, do you know the meaning of that? He said, I will put my laws in their heart, and I will put my laws in their hidden and secret parts. Oh, okay. You don't know what I'm quoting, so let me leave you. Now, listen to me. In that whole schematic that I'm trying to reveal to you, the aspect of the soul or the aspect of your heart that can sway the entire, your entire being, the place from when deception and bondage can come into your life is called the mind. Please help me tell your neighbor, the mind. One of the ways you will know you are in a situation of spiritual warfare is what goes on in your mind. The devil happens to be a deceiving spirit, and the moment he shows up, he hits your mind. When he hits your mind, he begins to advance what we call arguments. Arguments. The first layer of warfare that the believer will experience is in the realm of arguments. And that's what we saw in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 during the course of the lecture yesterday evening. Now, come with me. I want to show you a typical situation. So, because we have arguments, we have imaginations. All of those things are capabilities that your heart contains. And the Bible is instructing that we should keep our heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Satan will take advantage of every event that takes place, everybody that dies. He will take advantage of your low moments and sneak into your corner and whisper into your ears. The moment you believe him, he has found space in your territory, and his influence is going to be established. We will be looking at the domains of spiritual warfare, and the first domain is your mind. The Bible gives us an instruction saying, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the charge to keep is a charge of maintaining territorial integrity, and that's the kind of thing that the people in the armed forces are equipped to do. If you want to keep something, then you must be equipped for warfare, because Satan is going to trespass your boundary, is going to trespass your territory. To enforce territorial integrity, you must be ready for some kind of war. If you come with me, finally, to the book of Genesis, there are a lot of scriptures, but I just need to use the right scriptures to open your heart to the counsel of God on this matter. We are not rushing anything. We want a powerful documentary of what it means to be engaged in spiritual warfare and how to always keep the devil in that condition of defeat perpetually, all the days of your life so that Satan doesn't have the right or the access to be able to manipulate any aspect of your life, and you live your life to the full and fulfill your days in serving the will of God. And even though Satan was awake and aware, he had no harvest around your life. The victory that has been secured for us on the cross must be maintained by people that have advanced in spiritual intelligence. And these are the days where we need to equip ourselves with the counsel of our God. Turn with me quickly to the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, beginning from verse 1, and we'll see a scenario where Satan shows up. I'd like you to see his arguments, like you to see how vast he is, like you to see how fluid his arguments and his thoughts are. When he speaks to you, if you give him an occasion for him to speak to you, oh my God, he's seeking to sway you and to establish strongholds around your life. He will show up when someone dies. He will show up when anything unfortunate happens. You had a near accident situation, and while you are contemplating, while you are thinking, he will show up. He will show up when you experience loss in your trading. You're just wondering why you put so much money and your output is a deficit. While you are contemplating on that, he will show up. He will show up when you fall sick, as you are beginning to drift into weakness. He shows up and, oh my God. So you need to know how to fight every day of your life, because Satan is going to show up. And one of the premises in which he will show up is your mind. Come with me to the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 1. I will round up after this scripture, and then we introduce our guest and we'll continue from where we stopped yesterday. The attempts we are trying to make is to make you come to the conclusion of the fact that spiritual warfare is real. There are great attempts that are made in the body of Christ to make the believer think that the moment he thinks less of spiritual warfare, the intensity of the war around his life will be doused. And that is the name of that is anesthesia. Now, when someone is going for a procedure, a surgical procedure in the hospital, and an anesthesia is administered, maybe the type that puts you to sleep completely so that you don't know what's going on. The fact that you are asleep, your senses are dead, does not take away the reality. In fact, you are in that state of limbo, but they have cut out some parts of your body already. You only wake up to see it. So meanwhile, are you there? In our preaching and teaching to dissuade people to think less about spiritual warfare as a means of victory is like anesthesia. Jesus, the word of God, already revealed to us that we are in a battle, and it will be in your interest to prepare for it so that it doesn't take you unawares, because the battle started before you were born. You were just born into it. So you need to be equipped in order to know how to engage. God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter 3 verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. First thing about Satan is that Satan is a peeping spirit. Satan is what? A peeping spirit. And the basis of my conclusion in that wise is in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8. Are you with me? All right. Isaiah chapter 8, Satan is a peeping spirit. Isaiah chapter 8 verse number 19, Isaiah chapter 8, verse number 19. He said, and when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep. The ability that wizards have is given to them from the devil, because that's the spirit that powers their own network. And the only advantage that the wizard has is that he can peep. So that's the ability of the devil on display at that point. Are you there? So Satan is a peeping spirit. Now, take for instance, you were watching a movie, and I stumble into your sitting room and see a scene of the movie. The fact that I saw a scene of the movie doesn't mean I can tell the whole storyline of the movie. Satan does not know what you are thinking. Satan does not know what you are capable of. He is ignorant of the capacity that you now have in the Spirit of God. He doesn't know the horsepower of your regenerated human spirit. He needs to study you diligently, and the vista from his study is very defective because it's by observation, making him many times miscalculate. And the entire Bible is full of the miscalculations of the devil. Many times when Satan comes into your space seeking to find occasion, he comes with a question. Just like he came with a question to Eve. Did God say that you should not eat of any tree in the garden? The reason why he came with a question was because his data bank was defective. There were many gaps in his perception. So he needed the help of Eve to fill up the gaps so that he could forge a weapon that was adequate to bring them into bondage. First thing I'd like to tell you is that without your help, Satan will not succeed against you. So anytime you find Satan succeeding, it is because we took pains to help him. So please help me tell your neighbor, it's time to stop helping Satan. Some of the stray words you speak in defeat and in distress were the missing link Satan was looking for to fill up his data bank. So he came to the garden and he spoke to the woman. Did God say that you should not eat of any tree in the garden? So the woman now helped him fill the gap. Next verse. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The moment the data bank was filled up, Satan knew what weapon to use. Let us check the next verse. You will see Satan's response. This is mind-bending. This is where mind-bending starts. The first range of warfare that we must study is the way warfare looks like in the mind. Don't forget our slogan. If you win in the mind, you win on the ground. If you lose in the mind, where have you lost? You have lost on the ground. So the true theater where victory is forged is in the theater of the mind. So Satan comes with his mind-bending skills. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Yeah, you will die, but not absolutely. Oh my. Then he brings a perspective. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. And he shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Hallelujah. This creature is trying to make Adam He's trying to put God in a bad light here. So there is a secret that God has kept from you. And the secret is that there is a possibility that you can also become God. So that there's no need for you to go seek out God. You will realize that you are the God that you are seeking. You are God you are looking for. You have that capacity. You have that ability. And this is what this tree is going to make you become. Hallelujah. The mind is bent. And the reason why Eve fell for his mind bending was because there was an inherent desire, unbridled desire, unsurrendered desire in her heart to emerge as an autonomous entity that doesn't need to operate by depending on God. Satan will always exploit inner rebellion. Satan will always exploit any inclination not to be subject to the powers and the authority that God has put in place. Satan will always suggest a standalone possibility, autonomy. He will always suggest that. And that kind of thinking is in line with the thinking of the fallen man, and it is rooted in the flesh. I'm going to stop here. Not because I've finished, but I think sufficient education has come out of our presentation yesterday. All this speaking I did now is based on some of the things we spoke about yesterday. So once again, I'm going to invite my guest to the stage. We are going to have a moment of about 15 minutes. There is a critical aspect of our presentation that I want to bring again to your notice, and it's about a visitation of a certain creature-like bird. A certain creature-like bird. So, Sister Grace Hope, you are invited to come up stage, and the people in charge of the media will help regulate our microphones so that we will not have any need of handheld devices.
Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you can hear me from the crowd. Can you test your microphone?
Praise the Lord.
Is it the microphone that is sick, or is the problem
Praise
coming
the
from you or from?
Praise the Lord.
Did you hear her, Sister
Praise
Grace?
The Lord.
All right. I don't know if you can hear Sister Grace, but we will continue. There's an aspect of her testimony that I want us to be acquainted with. It's a critical aspect, and that's why I had to shift it for tonight. The purpose of our effort is to make us see that issues concerning spiritual warfare are very practical, very, very practical. And also, the way to go by spiritual warfare are very practical means. So first of all, we are legitimizing the line of study by bringing real cases of people that were under circumstances of spiritual warfare, where entities without bodies, because demons are persons without bodies, entities that are persons without bodies were found culpable in seeking to bring injury to the lives of mortal men. Sister Grace, test your microphone again.
Praise God.
Okay, she's live now. Can you continue? Meanwhile, you're welcome to the stage.
Thank you so much.
Amen. Can you continue from where you stopped yesterday? We were talking about a bird. A bird. That's how the creature was in the realm of the spirit. Can you tell us about that experience?
Praise God. Praise the Lord. I think I'll start by saying thank you so much, sir, for this opportunity. All the while I've not had understanding of the warfare, but it's becoming more clearer and clearer. Yesterday I stopped at the bird. I was sleeping in a dream where I saw a bird came on a ring. His legs were locked up on the ring. And the ring was more of like the light. There was light, but the light was quite...
Please stay with us. You know, I will keep stopping her momentarily to run some commentaries. The reason for the commentaries is to bring biblical perspectives and also to show us scriptures that will equip us. Okay? Maybe we need to turn our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." If you check the word signified in the original language, it translates to sign language. So this revelation that Jesus Christ wants to pass unto his saints regarding things which must shortly come to pass, the revelations were handed out to an angelic personnel. And we know that an angel is a spirit being. And this angel transmitted the revelation to John by sign language. Are you there? Sign language. So the language of the spirit is sign language. Your ability to decode the signs that are in the language is a function of your intimacy with the Holy Ghost, who happens to be the storehouse of God's wisdom. It's in form of sign language. So I want you to know that the Holy Spirit has been transmitted to every one of us from the day you gave your life to Christ. It is just that your ability to comprehend what he's saying is dependent on your intimacy with him, because he is the personality that holds the wisdom of God. Second scripture. How many of you still remember the book of Ephesians chapter 1? Beginning from verse 17 or 18, as the case may be. It says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." No, go to 17. 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." In order for us to access spiritual knowledge, there are two lines, streams of grace that we need. The first grace is the spirit of revelation. What the spirit of revelation does is that it occasions disclosures of spiritual things. And when spiritual things are disclosed to you, they come in form of sign language. That's why you will need the spirit of wisdom to decode the signs that have been furnished in the spirit. Without access to the spirit of wisdom, it will be impossible for us to decode the signs by which communication is achieved in the realm of the spirit. There are no 60% of warfares that we go through appears as signs, either in dreams or in other forms of signs. Because of one of God's commitment to you is to bring disclosures to you that will give you an advantage in the spiritual battle. And just like God can communicate with signs, just like God can give you dreams, just like God can speak to you, Satan can also speak to you. Satan can also give you dreams. You don't believe that? Okay. How many of you have been tempted before? Have you been tempted? Oh, okay, I see, because I know you don't undergo temptation. It's only people like us that labor in temptations. But I have seen you have matured to a certain spiritual level that have made you immune to temptation. If you have ever been tempted before, it means Satan used the infrastructure of your receptacle to speak to you. Do you understand that? So she said she had a dream and she saw a bird. Follow carefully, okay?
When the bird came to me, he was making demands.
The bird was making demands.
And the demand was my blood.
Or the bird was demanding your blood.
And then I said,
I hope you know this entire setup is a disclosure that has been made available by Satan. Just like I said, you can have dreams that are demonic, dreams that are advanced by Satan, thoughts that are advanced by Satan, whispers, voices that are advanced by Satan. So this situation is a situation that Satan set up. Now, this is the thing about Satan that you need to know. Satan is the inventor of lies. The Bible calls him the original liar. And the Bible reveals that when he lies, he is speaking his native language. That is why when you see Jesus in situations where he's conducting deliverance or expelling devils, almost always he does not converse with the devil. And the reason why he doesn't converse with the devils is because the devil is not capable of saying the truth. An evangelist was speaking to me some time ago, and he said he went for a crusade. And while he was on the crusade ground, he gave an altar call that if you are a witch here, lift up your hands. So the witches owned up, there were like 25 of them. So, all right, we are witches. We are witches. So when he wanted to release the authority of God to destroy the witchcraft they were carrying, Satan spoke to him and said, do you know what? If you leave me alone, I will leave you alone. Hallelujah. If you what? So when Satan brought that proposal to him, the way he would have prayed for the witches, he refrained because he wanted to line up. So he did not deliver the witches. On his way after the crusade going, he had a flat tire and he almost died. So even when Satan was negotiating, he was lying. He didn't have an intention to leave the evangelist alone. And this event happened in 1983. And since then, the evangelist has been, oh, Jesus Christ, anytime witches are involved. Please help me tell your neighbor, Satan is not capable of telling the truth. If the devil tells you will die, that means you have long life. And that is the truth. Are you still with me? All right, so. We are going to trust the Lord to benefit from this moment. We have 19 minutes. We'll stop when it's 4 minutes to go. Okay?
So I told the bird, you can't have my blood. If you need the blood in the dream, if you need the blood, take the blood of Jesus. That was when he flew off.
And can you hear her? All right, so can you add this to? Some people say they can't hear her.
Okay, I said when the bird came and demanded for the blood, I told him he can't have my blood. If he needs blood, he should take the blood of Jesus. And he flew. While he was going, he was saying, it must be your blood. It must be your blood. He kept saying it I can't count the number of times till I lost his voice and I woke up. Shortly when I woke up, two days after...
Like we said, that dream was orchestrated by the devil. And in the dream, the devil's intentions were revealed. Are you there? So, at least we know now, the devil wants her blood. For what he wants it for, we don't know. But we know that the devil wants what? Her blood. All right?
So I woke up, I prayed. And then few days after, I had a pig farm. And the pigs were like 20. And calls kept coming. They were dying.
Your pigs started dying?
Yes. All of them died.
All the 20 pigs died?
Yes. Mm. And then I had an investment. I lost it. Mm. My younger sister had a wedding gown shop. She rents wedding gowns and all that. Everything. It was only her shop among all shops that burnt down.
Her shop got burnt down.
So all those things were to get to me.
How many of you still remember when we spoke about the hedge? The hedge has three circles. The first circle covers you. Second circle covers your household. Third circle covers what you have. Can we try again? First circle covers what?
You.
Second circle covers what? Third circle covers what? Now, when you begin to see losses in a monumental magnitude, it is suggestive of the fact that you are at war. When members of your household begin to fall sick in an uncontrollable manner, is also suggestive of the fact that you are at war. And when you yourself begin to have near-death experiences, three accidents in 1 week, you survive by the whiskers. It's time to immobilize yourself and to dust your prayer mat and say, Satan, I am also ready. Look for your boxers. Put them on in the night. And when others go to sleep, stay awake, praying in the spirit. It was Pastor Austin Jangfa, and I think Pastor Tena. They invited us to Rwanda, so I sent three of them to go. What did they do? Is it an idol that they saw or something? And Pastor Austin rebuked the spirit. I said, you spirit, so-and-so, we rebuke you. And he went to sleep. And the spirit came and almost suffocated him. When he called me, I told him, have you ever watched a wrestling match that only one punch sent the opponent to defeat? When you release one punch like that, go and put on your boxers in the night and continue that fight until the break of day. Whenever there is an indication that Satan wants something from you, wake up. Because it is time to fight. If you forsake those signs, the thing Satan desires will happen suddenly because of your inability to stand up and fight. Yes, sister?
Okay, it was after then my husband now spoke with me and told me to chat Papa. So I chatted him and I told him what has been happening. And then...
Meanwhile, I was in the office. We were about to go offshore, I guess. Those days when I was still in Lagos. And as she was speaking, I felt death in her voice. Death was in her voice. Yes, go on.
So he asked me to send him SMS with my line. So he called back immediately. When he called me, he was praying. He said he sees a deposit on my heart. And meanwhile, my mom met someone and told her the same thing. He said, there's a deposit on the heart of your daughter. I don't know your daughter, Hope, but the enemy has afflicted her. The arrow was supposed to hit my mom, but it met me praying. And the devil has actually met the wrong person because this one will not die. That was what he told my mom. And then it was that period I began to gather my feet in pieces to push on. So when daddy called and prayed with me, shortly when he, few minutes after the prayers, it was like there was a stirring and the attack was so forceful. And it was my life at that moment. I began to gasp for air. You could see from my chest how my heart, you could see like something is moving, how my heart was rattling. You could see it obviously. And fear gripped everybody around me. I couldn't really talk. So my sister was with my phone. She knows you very well. And then I was able to call your name. When I called your name, she quickly called you. And then she called daddy and put it on call, on loudspeaker. And then he heard the way I was gasping for breath. And he called me. He said, "Grace Hope, where are you going? Come back here." And it was like a call back to life. And then when I could hear his voice, there was this, I don't know how to explain, you could know that you are not alone in this whole thing. And then that was how I got stabilized. Until today, I am here.
Please note, the reason for this interview is not to show how anointed I am. In fact, I'm asking God for real anointing now. I've been laboring, asking God for real anointing. Yesterday night, I said, "Jesus, souls must be saved. Souls must be brought to the kingdom. There are quarters where you cannot go and convince anybody to give his life to Christ. We need to have superior power because human beings fall sick. So if human beings can fall sick, it means there is a need that we can meet through the Holy Ghost." Okay, please. So it's not about that. The spirit of death. Okay, maybe we don't have time to talk about the spirit of death today. How to defeat it and how to cheat it. The spirit of death. Well, we are 10 minutes to go. Can you restore my platform? Spiritual warfare is real. And that is what we are trying to establish this evening. When God equips us with what is needed for us to engage in spiritual battle, he gives us authority. So what happened in our case was that it was authority that went forth, not Abba. He also gives us power. Power. In dealing with spiritual situations, we need authority and we need what? Power. We will talk about that and how it works, how you release authority. But we are just taking it gradually. We are going to pray today. Why are you so desperate to restore this microphone? I'm already enjoying not holding things. And you are desperate to see that I'm restored in my old state. We are going to pray tonight as a congregation. And just in case they are relatives of yours, that you have come to the conclusion of the fact that the sicknesses that they are suffering from are not based on infection. This is based on spiritual causes. We're going to focus on that in our prayers tonight. Hallelujah. But first we'll pray for Sister Hope. The Lord literally brought this lady back from the dead. And today she has a son. She's married and she has a son already. And guess what? Satan was not able to get that pint of blood that he was desperately in search of. There are many more people that God is willing to extend his liberty to extend his freedom to. And it is our prayer that during the course of these meetings, this fasting and prayer, all kinds of things will be set aright in the name of Jesus. Can you say a word of blessing upon Sister Grace Hope? And such affliction will never arise around your life forever. In the name of Jesus. The hand of God will be strong on you. In the name of Jesus. You will fulfill your days. In the name of Jesus. Grace is released on your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You are released. Is there any family member of yours that is bedridden, afflicted, sick, diseased, and the doctors have made a fortune out of that unfortunate situation? Syringes, drugs, tests, medical care, and all kinds of costs that have accumulated because of the unfortunate situation. Do you have any relative like that? Tonight, you want to say his or her name before the Lord and ask God for an intervention. Just take any position that is convenient for you, whether sitting or standing. But we want to draw them out of the edge of the grave. We want to draw them back from the edge of the underworld. We want to draw them back from the edge of the city steps and to extend salvation to them and to ask that God will do wonders, that the Lord will do signs, that He will bring His counsel to pass, that grace will be released, that grace will be made manifest. Can you say a word? There is authority on your lips. There is authority on your lips, and this authority that you carry on your lips has the capacity to restore that which the devil is trying to steal. Endroboko Sokoria Brasquito Mandeli Yama Mama Mama Mama. We decree tonight that you are restored. The devil attempts to take where he has not invested, he attempts to take where he has not sown. We frustrate his agenda. We frustrate his attempts. I so se calambro si gamanzala. Metia con se que de bonda. Endore casima santora bahade. Life osigo boroconse. Urana Sakatelia Kundeberia Andosenir Andose Salakuria Entoskilo Bondo Rama Lais Shema Kanta Baboria Endovera Kanda Babosandi Labro Kose Katakure Basantori Endorokoria Isa Mansala Baboke. Verescontali, Verescontali, Verescontiabanda, Akaya Konda, Akaya Seda Inte, Ratababo Konda, Asimande, Asimande, Yekande, Zemina Paske Kopri Alababo Konda, Ala Prosek, Ala Mansanga, Ala Mamokuri.
Isozele, Esaminanda, Ucabeza, Abraskito Prendo Conda, Iacabodi Masanto, Iaca Santeria, Yakasomantalia, Abreskobilato. All of you online, you can insist tonight and say before the Lord, that relative of yours that Satan is attempting to drag into the grave, there is authority on your lips. There is power on your lips. There is grace on your lips. You can make a demand. You can make a demand. You can make a demand right now. You can make a demand. You can make a demand. Yes, grace is released. Grace is released. Those of you online, there is grace released tonight. Grace released. We decree you and yours shall not die. You and yours shall not die. You and yours shall not die. Sabrobobosiko Tali Mandela. Seminantoria Kabalasi. Alaba Bonda Candia. Delicon Sele. Delicon Samina. Delicon Sekotala. You can still demand for restoration. You can say, rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. For you shall not die, but you shall live to testify of the works and the goodness of God in the land of the living. Father, the dead cannot praise you, so bring life. Oh my God, bring life, bring life, bring life. Bring life. Restore. 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 Liakonse mandale. Liakonse selibokora. Reskonta bugonati. Esilobonde. Rabidad. Askama. Elomanta. Ilokosketa branta baboria. Gemini Kobela Bunda. In the name of Jesus. Finally, Nigeria itself has been walking on crutches. The miracle power, walking power of Jesus needs to do something quickly to restore our fortunes, to restore our hopes. There are several seeds that God has sown in Nigeria that is meant for Africa. If we never get to rise, many bad things will happen on the continent. Oh my God, the firstborn must rise. The giant must rise. Is there paralysis? Jesus is the healer of men and nations. Come heal the paralysis of Nigeria. Come raise her from the dead. The same way you spoke to Lazarus in the tomb, corruption had set in. Darkness has set in. Just like corruption has set in Nigeria. Corruption is taking a toll. We say, Nigeria, hear, hear our voice. We speak into the land of corruption. Arise and come forth. Comfort. Comfort. Let your splendor be revealed again. Let your glory be made manifest again. Let the hand of our King be seen in your midst. In the name of Jesus. You may be seated. The offering baskets can go around. Those of you participating online, you can take advantage of the information available on your screen to participate in this aspect of the service. If I'm not mistaken, tomorrow is Friday. Is that true? So what we will do on Friday
is that we will collate the questions that have been coming in through, coming in the chat room. We'll collect them and then we'll try to answer with scriptures. So the answerings or answers to the questions that are coming forth will be the subject of our emphasis tomorrow. And then we will make prayers from those emphases. So we'll try as much as possible to accept some feedback, since it's, we're trying to establish knowledge in an aspect that is not so popular in the body of Christ. So we are open to answering questions. A stream of questions have been coming in already, and we're trying to collect them, and we'll begin to engage as soon as possible. So we'll do that this week on Friday, but it doesn't mean that the question and answer sessions will always be on Friday. We can shift the day of question and answers to any day of the week, but for this week, it's going to be on Friday. And then secondly, on Sunday prayer meeting, we will have a section of that meeting that we will invite our guests. They'll be with us on the special Zoom platform so that we can minister to individuals that are in our online community using the digital facilities that we have available. So that will happen on Sunday. And for that also, the days of the week where we will be ready to do that will differ week after week. I salute you in Jesus' mighty name.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Visit spiritnerds.org to download more MP3 sermons of your favorite preachers. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com.